Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. This story is recorded three times in the Scripture. It's in Matthew, in Mark, chapter 2, and Luke, chapter 5. And I do want you to turn to those and find them so we can refer to them, okay? Mark, chapter 2. And Luke chapter 5. Mark 2 and Luke 5. This story is recorded three times. Anytime whatever's in God's Word is of infinite importance. Life and death. Glorious story. But if it's recorded three times, it's of great importance. And this is another story of the sovereign Lord and sovereign Savior who came to save His people from their sin. Jesus Christ didn't come to try to save anybody. When His birth was announced, the angel said that, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save." Not try to save, not might save, not make an attempt to save if men let Him. He shall save His people from their sins. His people, His sheep, all that the Father gave Him, He said, shall come to be. He came to save His people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He told that story of the shepherd who went seeking his sheep that was lost and when he had found it. Not if, but when he found it. He finds all his lost sheep. They're given him by the Father. And He said, "In the end, of all which Thou hast given Me, I have lost nothing." He's the sovereign Lord. He's a sovereign Savior. He came to fulfill a purpose given to Him by God in saving His elect from their sins. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's exactly what He did. In verse 1 of this text, it says, "He entered into a ship and passed over, came into His own city." He entered into a ship. He gave orders for this ship to be prepared. He told these disciples, "Get me a ship." The Lord didn't ask anybody ever for one thing. Kings don't do that. The Christ of Scripture, the God of Scripture, doesn't ask men anything. He gives command. He sent for this ship. It was His ship. Those were His men that He hand chose. Says He came into His own city. This was His city. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's His. It all belongs to Him. And I love how that every word that He spoke, every act that He performed, every gesture He made, every step He took was ordered in all things and was sure. According to God's eternal purpose before the world began, to seek and to save, to find His people and save them. And He found them all where He put them. He put one man, a publican, up a tree. He had one woman at a well waiting on Him. And on it go. Now, the Lord had just left Capernaum, the city of Capernaum, and told His disciples to get this ship. We're going across, and He didn't tell him why. He didn't. The Lord, God does not give an account of His matters to anybody. But they did what they were told. And they crossed over because He had an appointment. He had a divine appointment with, an appointment which He made before the world began with a man filled with devils that was in the tomb. He went all the way across that sea. The Lord will go to great lengths to save one of His elect. Because He must. Crossed that sea, His sea, mind you, and met that man in the tomb and saved him and then told His disciples, "Get back in the ship. We're crossing back over to Capernaum. Now there's somebody else over there I've got to meet." There are no accidents with the Lord. Everything is by His appointment. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. You're not here according to your free will because you don't have one. You don't have one. The lot is cast to the lap, yeah. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That's what God's Word says. We do what we will, we think, but we do what God determines before to be done. That makes the world mad. That makes me mighty glad. That nothing's by accident. Nothing's by chance. There's no chaos. It's all ordered and sure, according to our God's infinite wisdom and power. Our Lord just left Capernaum. Now He comes back. Says He entered again in another place, and I think it's Mark's Gospel. Yeah, go over there. Go over to Mark chapter 2. Because some things happened between verse 1 and 2 of Matthew's account. But in Mark chapter 2, go over there. There's more recorded here. I need to mark it myself. Okay. The more is recorded, and you remember the scripture that says, if all the things that He said and did were recorded in books, the world couldn't contain them. And that's partly why there are four Gospels, to give a different, and not a different account, but more of the same account. And in Mark chapter 2, it says in verse 1, again He entered into Capernaum. That's certain that again. And I thought what mercy it was that He came to the town of Capernaum. The Lord, again, the Lord sovereignly chooses and chose where He would go. And He chose Capernaum. And He went there and did many wonderful works there and saved some people in it. And it's the same today. His gospel, He sends His gospel where He will, to His people. And what great mercy it is if the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in our town. It's not everywhere. Not everywhere. What great grace that He came to Capernaum, and not once, but He came again. He came back. What mercy that His gospel is here, that the Spirit of Christ came and comes again and again. You know, we're not worthy of this gospel. I'm not worthy to tell it, and you're not worthy to hear it. And we hear it again and again. And we quickly forget what we've heard, and we take it for granted, and we go on as if we hadn't heard anything at all, hear of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary's tree for such a worm as us, and we go away and act like we didn't hear a thing, or fall asleep or something. Should He tell us that gospel again? And I'm the same way. Should He tell us again? But He does. Why? Because the Lord is merciful and gracious. He knows our frame. Go tell John again, the Lord said. Didn't He? To those disciples. Go tell John was full of doubt. One day John's up, next day he's down. One day he's full of faith, next day he doesn't have any. And the Lord says, go tell him again. And again He came to Capernaum. You see that? I couldn't pass that up. So again He came to Capernaum. And read on. It says it was noise that He was in the house. Where two or three are gathered, Christ said, I'll be there. Right in the middle of the people. He was in the house. He really is. And straightway, verse 2, there were many gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. Those that were gathered together, the Lord Jesus Christ preached the word to them. That's what I need. I need this more than anything else. Do you? I need the Lord, not a man. Although the Lord uses a man. And if we won't hear that man, we won't hear from him. But the Lord does speak through men. I need to hear from the Lord, don't you? He says, except you receive the word as a little child. The Lord spoke the word to them. Lord, speak the word to me. We need to be like Cornelius every time we meet. We need to be like Cornelius every time. We're here to hear. Who did He say that to? Peter. A man. But what He was saying is, We need to hear what the Lord says to us through here. Lord, speak. And he preached the word unto them. My, my. Vast crowd was there. How many heard it? I don't know. I don't know. I know there's one fellow that heard it. I remember going to, there's a big crowd here, and I don't know how many heard the Lord, what he said. It says in Luke's gospel, go over there, Luke chapter 5. They were present while the Lord was preaching. Luke chapter 5, look over there. The same account, verse 17. You have it? Came to pass on a certain day. This is when he's in the house. He was teaching. There were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Sitting by the wayside, actually. They were in there. They've come out of every town, Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. They were curious. What's the teacher, what's the preacher going to say? The power of the Lord was present. They didn't hear it. We're going to see. They didn't hear it. Power of the Lord is His Word. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But they didn't hear it. But it was present. And whenever the gospel is preached, the power of the Lord is present. Why didn't they receive it? Why didn't the Pharisees receive it? Well, they were there to criticize it. They were there to catch Him at His Word. They were there to be critical of it, weren't they? Not like little children. One man came in here, a helpless, hopeless sinner, and he went out praising God for infinite mercy to him. One man. So the Lord preached the word, and it says they brought to him a man with the palsy. Look at chapter 5 of Luke, let's see, 18. Behold, men brought in a bed a man that was taken with a palsy. Now, all three Gospels tell us that this man had the palsy. That's paralysis. Paralysis. He could not walk. He could not walk. He never had. He could not come to this place unless he was brought. Right? What does the Scripture say? Christ said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. No man will. Not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth. But it's of God that showeth mercy. And he said in another place, no man can come unto me except the Father, except God do something. Except God draw them. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. You'd be at home laying in bed right now if the Lord hadn't brought you. I would be. Somebody brought this man. Well, verse 18 here in Luke 5, it says, they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before the Lord. These men knew who Christ was. How did they know? God revealed him to them. And there were four men, it says in Mark's Gospel, four. They were born of four. Four men that were his friends, or maybe his brother. And they knew the Lord. They knew that Christ was the only way, that Christ was the sinner's only hope, that Christ was the lame man's only help, that Christ was the only way that this man is going to be healed, that this man's going to be saved. Christ is it, the only one. They knew him. And they brought, notice, they brought him to him. They brought their friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. They sought means to bring him in and lay him before the Lord. It was the Lord that they wanted this man to be before. It was the Lord that they wanted this man to meet. It was the Lord that they wanted this man to hear. It was the Lord. Not my church. Don't come. And, you know, I tell you us all the time, don't go, come to our church. Come here, come to our church, because we have a family church. The church is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. Come hear the truth. Like that woman at the well, she ran home and says, come see a man. Not the preacher, come see the Lord Jesus Christ. Come hear the message of the gospel. It just happens to be here. This is the only thing we have. Here, it's the only thing we do. Determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They wanted this man to hear the Lord, to meet the Lord. And say, so they sought means. You see that? They sought means to bring him in and lay him before the Lord. The Lord uses means. He doesn't have to. He doesn't always. But He does use means. He has ordained means. The Lord uses the means of prayer. He said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. He uses the means of prayer. He uses the means of the word of witnessing. He uses that means. And we have them here. We have tapes and CDs and books and tracts and so forth. And these men sought means for this man to come and meet the Lord. And so they sought those means. And we have them. And we don't despise the day of small things. We don't despise the means. We don't put our confidence in, our trust in. We don't glorify the means. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. Just a common, ordinary, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Just a sinful man. But God is pleased to use this. We don't despise the means. We don't trust the means. We don't glorify the means. But we use the means. And they sought means, and it says they could not find means. They sought means and could not find, verse 19. They could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. These four friends or brethren loved this man. And they were concerned about him. Wouldn't you like to have friends like that? Better yet, you ought to be a friend like that. Best friend a person can be to somebody else is to tell them the truth. You know what? Tell them the truth. There's another story. Peter and John went in the temple and the man asked alms and wanted some spare change. He said, we don't have a health and wealth gospel. We don't have any silver and gold to give you. But here's what we have, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we'll tell you. The Lord uses means. There's a brother in here. There's many, but one in particular I'm thinking of that is such an encouragement to me. He often tells me what a blessing the messages are and even calls me. One time he called me at a time when I greatly needed it. I was feeling like a horrible, an abject failure. And he called me telling me what a blessing the Word was to him. Well, that same man often gets these CDs down there. Not many are purchased, or not many are obtained. But he does, and he mails them out and gives them to his family constantly. He's obviously concerned about them, like these men. What a friend. What a friend. What a brother. All right, now go back to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to stay there, stay in Matthew's gospel until I say leave. Now, I'm going to keep Luke 5, okay? Keep Luke 5. We may come back then. But they sought means. Now, what they did was, Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel says that they climbed up on the roof. Four men carrying this man on a stretcher. And they climbed up on the roof. They couldn't get in the door. There were too many people standing around. They couldn't get in the door. They climbed up on the roof of this house. You know the story. And it was tile roofs back then. And they climbed up on the roof of that. Can you imagine? Carrying a man on a stretcher, four men up onto the roof. Did they want this man to meet the Lord or what? Did they believe the Lord? Did they believe that His Word was His power? Did they believe that? It's the only thing that's going to make this man walk. Nothing else. Not me talking to him. Not me doing anything. Not anybody laying their hands on it. And they climbed up on this roof and began to uncover the tile. And they let this man down in the middle of this crowd on ropes down through the roof of that house, right down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the hush that went over that crowd? Everybody. My. These men were desperate, weren't they? They were desperate for their friend. This man was desperate. He's going to die without Christ. Desperate men seek desperate measures. Like those you and I were talking about, those men that were guilty as charged, and they put ropes around their neck, knowing that they possibly might be hung by the king of Israel. But they're going to die if they don't get mercy from him anyway. So they came with ropes around their neck. And they said, "We hear that the kings of Israel are merciful." And they went to him with ropes around their neck. And he showed them mercy. Sink or swim. I got to get to him. And all three Gospels say this. Verse 2 of Matthew 9 says, "Behold, they brought to him." You see why we went over there? They went to great lengths to bring him. "They brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, brought him down through the roof." And it says, "Jesus, seeing their faith." All three Gospels say that. Seeing their faith. Now, he certainly knew who they were, didn't he? Oh, he knew them long before they knew him. You see, the foundation of God stand assured, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. These four men were his elect, his chosen. That's why they knew him. Huh? He foreknew, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called by the gospel. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified his people. Seeing their faith, though. He certainly knew them, and he certainly knew they had faith. Where did they get this faith? Where did they get this faith? Did they one day decide to let Jesus into their heart? Did they accept Jesus as their personal Savior? Did they? Did they accept Jesus as their personal Savior? It doesn't say that in the Bible anywhere. So it does say we're accepted in the Beloved. See, God's not the one up for acceptance. We are. We all reject Him by nature, as we just read. And He will not come unto me. No man can come unto me. They didn't know and believe the Lord until the Lord revealed Himself to them. God, you see, by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Nobody's going to brag or boast because they believed Christ. No, they're going to boast in Him. They're going to thank Him. They're going to glorify Him for giving them the faith to believe Him. Faith's a miracle. Ephesians 1 says, according to the working of His mighty power, making someone believe in someone you can't see, making someone hate what they once loved and love what they once hated, making someone see their need of Christ who was blind, someone hear the gospel who was deaf, someone walk who was lame, someone come who had the palsy. Salvation's of the Lord. But He saw their faith. You see, the Lord honors faith. The Lord gives it, and then He honors it. That's just like a father, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it just like a father, Wesley? You teach your children all that to do. You bring them up to everything they know, everything they have, you gave it to them. Everything they know, you taught it to them. And then when they do something, it's a reasonable servant, but they do something that you taught them with the things that you gave them, you say, "Good job. Well done, my good and faithful child." So it is with the Father. See their faith, what He gave. But the Lord honors faith because faith honors the Lord. Faith believes Him and honors Him and the promises and acts upon it. Lord, You said. You said ask, and I'm asking. You said seek my faith, so that's what I'm doing. Faith honors the Lord. These four fellows were persuaded that Christ was their only hope, their friend's only hope, able to save, so they carried their friend to Christ in spite of the crowd and obstacles, and the Lord saw their faith. That's why I believe, and I'm sure, that some in here who have for so many years brought before the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and through the Word, those that you are concerned about, I very much expect Him to do something for me. It's just in keeping with His Word. That's what He does. He honors faith. And I can't wait to say, I told you so. That is, He said so. Because He's faithful. Now, here's the heart of the story. Here's the heart of the story. If you hadn't heard anything, if you're a sinner, you listen up, okay? This is the gospel. This is the good news. Listen up now. All right? Here's this man is lame from his mother's womb. He has the palsy. He's lying on a bed. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He can't do anything. He can't do anything for Jesus. And neither can we. What does the Lord Jesus need with him? Nothing. Nor does he need us. But this man needed Christ, didn't he? He was brought to the right place. Now look at it. Verse 2. He saw their faith. Jesus seeing their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, now to the naked eye, this is a 33-year-old man standing there. I don't know how old this man was lying in the bed. He could have been 40 or 50 or 60 years old. He says, Son, how degrading, how condescending. Know what great mercy as a father pitieth his children. This is the Father. Call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He that hath seen me, Christ said, hath seen the Father. How can he be the Son and be the Father? I don't know, but he is. Son? Well, things seem pretty good for this fellow, don't they? Huh? Hey, looking up, aren't you? Son? He calls him son. The Lord didn't call everybody that, did he? He said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you're of your father the devil. God's not the father of all mankind. He's plainly said to some, you're of your father the devil. But all that the Father giveth me, the children that thou hast given me, adopted, chosen, born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, born of God, chosen of God, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by the Spirit, my children, God's children, son. And if he says, calls us son, the sky's not the limit. Son, oh my, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. That's the greatest thing a sinner could ever hear. That's why we always say this gospel is for sinners. And it won't mean a thing. What the Lord just said doesn't mean a thing to somebody unless they're a sinner. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. That struck me. Be happy. Cheer up. Be glad. Be exceedingly glad, son. Your sins are gone. Be happy. Smile. Your sins are gone. Past, wipe that. Everything you've ever done against God, against man, is gone. Your present sins, and you're going to be a sinner to the day you die. And your future sin, maybe your worst sins are yet to come, but they are forgiven. Every one of them. I say, forgiven. Be of good cheer. Now, what about repentance? Huh? Our Lord said, except you repent, you'll perish. This man hasn't said a word, and he's not going to. You're not going to hear a word out of him. You don't know who this fellow is. That's not important, is it? There's one important here. One that we know. One to get the glory. We don't know who he is. We don't know where he came from. We don't know what he had, his possessions. We don't know what he knew. It doesn't matter, does it? You know what matters here? Here's a sinner. And the Lord said, his sins are gone. But what about repentance? Except we repent, we'll perish, the Scripture said. Christ preached repentance. He came, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached repentance, didn't he? Repent. Paul said, I cease not to warn you day and night, preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, all of them. This is the missing message today. Repent. God is angry. God is holy. God will punish sin. Repent, repent, repent. What about repentance here? Did this man have any repentance? Well, of course he did. Of course he did. But repentance is not for you and I to see it. It's for God. There was a woman that came in. The Lord was in the house of the Pharisee. And she came in and was weeping the whole time that she was with him. He brought in a box of precious ointment, broke it over his head, and began to weep and wipe his feet with her hair of her head and wash them with her tears, never said a word. And the Lord turned to her in a little while. The Lord turned to her after he rebuked these Pharisees that, you know, were just curious. No, he's a good speaker. In came one sinner, and the Lord turned to her, turned his back on those fellows, and said, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. And she never said a word. The Lord looketh on the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Like that woman, this man is silent, but his heart is crying out. And the Lord sees it. The Lord gave it. And the Lord sees it. And he says, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven you. How can the Lord forgive sin? He will by no means clear the guilty, Scripture says. God can't just forget and forgive sins. God must punish sin. The Lord will punish sin. Every sin shall receive a just recompense of reward. That's what the Scripture says. Now let me read to you. My glasses are working today. And let me read this to you in Romans 3. Listen carefully. You don't have to turn. But just listen very carefully. See, by the deeds of the law, no one will be justified before God. Not what we do. The law is a knowledge of sin. That's it. But now, the righteousness of God. God receives someone as holy. Righteous before him, without the law, that is, without us keeping it, is manifest. That's revealed by the law and the prophet. The righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, his faithfulness, unto all and upon all that believe. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Not his works, but faith. And even that faith was not a work, it was a gift of God. But all have sinned. You know, many quote that, but not what's before it and after it. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and me. But how are they justified then? How can God be just and justify? Justified freely by His grace. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Like that Pharisee and that publican came into the temple and Christ said, that publican is justified. How that Pharisee is condemned. According to who? According to him. He said so. God justified. And Christ died through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, that is a bloody sacrifice, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. This man's sins were paid for by Christ and Him crucified. You say he wasn't crucified yet.
Yes, he was.
He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He said your sins are paid for. They're already paid for. This lamb slain before. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He came in this world to lay down his life, not for everybody, but for his sheep. To pay their sin debt. To live their law debt. And he fulfilled it. He paid it all. Christ Jesus, all the debt I owe on Calvary's tree. And he said, your sins are forgiven him. They're paid for. They're put away. I'll remember them no more. And I forgive you. We need both. We need pardon. We need justification. It's two different things. We need to feel his pardon. We need to know that they're gone. We need to know that they won't be brought up again. He said they won't. Believe me. They won't. They'll be sought. They won't be found. Why? They're on the head of the scapegoat. Did that need to be said? I didn't preach the gospel unless I did. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Christ said your sins are forgiven you because God didn't forgive me. God spared us, his people, but spared not his own son. God laid on him the iniquity of all of his people. He was made sin. Brother John quoted it in his prayer. For us, God's people, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that's the gospel. And Christ pardoned it. Well, look at this. He said, be of good cheer. Now this man's still lying flat on his back. He's paralyzed. He's still paralyzed. How could the Lord say, be of good cheer? Well, if you have to ask that, I don't reckon you're a sinner. Can you be lying flat on your back and still be of good cheer? Huh? Can you be paralyzed and still be of good cheer?
John Hassan.
Some of you know that name. Can you be paralyzed, wheelchair bound, and still be of good cheer? You have a brother. You believers in here have a brother that you maybe never met named John Howson. He's with the Lord now. You'll know him someday. When he was a young man in his 30s, he was at the pinnacle of his profession. He was an architect in the Air Force designing airplanes on his way up in promotions in the airport. Married, had his first child, a daughter. And the Lord gave him multiple sclerosis. The Lord says, I wound and I heal. The Lord gave him multiple sclerosis, struck him down, and it became worse until he was wheelchair bound. He was bound and in a wheelchair. His speech began to slur. His motor skills began to lose him. He had everything in this world. And now he's losing it all. His health. His wife took their daughter when she was how old? Just a young child, wasn't she? And left him. And she didn't see him for 20 years. He didn't see her for 20 years. He was sitting in his apartment and turned on the TV. Means. The Lord uses means. And there was a man named Henry Mahan preaching the gospel. And that boy heard it. That his sins were forgiven through Christ. He heard Christ crucified. Saw his need of Christ. He lost everything. But he found it all in Christ. That Christ is all. He packed up his belongings and moved to Ashland, Kentucky, where he sat until the day he died, until he gradually deteriorated to the point he couldn't function. Would you ever see John that he didn't have a smile on his face? Huh, Tammy? You knew that. Did you ever hear John complaining? No, sir. Can you be flat on your back and still be of good cheer? You better believe it. John Hassan. This man. The Lord said, be of good cheer. He's still paralyzed. Well, but your sins are gone. You know, we heal, we get our health, so we're going to lose it somehow, aren't we? We're going to lose it sometime. We're going to get sick and die of something. But no matter. If our sins are gone, all is well, huh? All is well. Another story that most of you know. There's a man who had vast holdings in Chicago. His name Horatio Spafford. The great fire in Chicago that burned down that city. He lost all of his holding. The Lord taught him the gospel. And then he lost a son, his only son. The Lord gave him four daughters. Four daughters. But he was going, he lived in New York, and he wanted to go to a meeting that was being held in Great Britain, and sent his wife and four daughters on a ship over before him, and he's going to meet them afterward. And that ship sunk, and all four of his daughters drowned. All four. And he took ship to join his wife. She's always gotten. No, she's not all she's got. But he took ship across, and when they got to the spot, he asked the captain if this is about the spot where the ship went down. The captain said, yes. Do you know how grief-stricken he must have been? Do you know how? He took a pen out and began to write a hymn. And here's what he wrote. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. All is not well with my body, but it is well with my soul. All is not well with my family. David said, although it be not so with my house, yet the Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. What is, David? What's your hope? What's your joy? What's your gladness? What makes you cheer up? That my sins are gone. And that's what everybody in glory is going to be cried out for all eternity. Everybody, not just mama's there, but unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. I bet he's got a smile on his face. The Lord wouldn't have mocked him. The Lord wouldn't have told him that if it didn't make him glad. And the Lord doesn't tell the gospel to somebody that doesn't make it glad. He's got a smile on his face now. Whether he walks out of there or not, it's going to be okay, isn't it? Huh? Whether he stays or whether he goes, he's standing on the rock now. His sins are gone. It's all good. Brother Scott once said, I've never heard any bad news since I heard the good news.
And believe you me, Brother Scott heard some bad news.
Sins are gone. Well, these Pharisees, who can forgive sins but God? That's right. The priest can't do it. Soul winner can't do it. That one who pronounced forgiveness of sin must be God. He is. He's the only one that can. The only one that can. And the Lord rebuked them, why reason ye in your hearts? They were there to criticize. They weren't sinners. That's the reason they didn't hear what he said. They didn't need it. And our Lord said this, and I quit. He said this, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and walk? Let me ask you that. Which is easier? You know that pinhead pope over in Rome. He wears that funny fish hat. You know, he says that all the time. Your sins are forgiven. And all these phony priests, you know, they, your sins are forgiven. Father, bless me. And I bless you, my son.
That doesn't mean it's so.
That doesn't mean your sins are gone. They can say it all day long. Doesn't mean it's so. But this man, when he says it, it's done. See, that's why you want him to say, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." David said, "Tell me my sins are gone." Because when he says it, it's done. Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven? To put away sin? Or say, get up and walk? Neither's easier. With man, it's both impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Yea, in Christ, it's certain. And as if in passing, as if this is not of great importance that he walk, yet, he said, and it's in parenthesis, "Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house." And he did. And he arose and departed. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God that had given such power unto men. They didn't understand. They still didn't know who he was. God gave power unto men. This is God. This is the power of God. This is God. But he went home, and Mark's account, I believe, or Luke, I forget which, says that he went home and he was glorifying God. Says he was glorifying God. He went home. I don't know if he was married. Could have been. But he was glorifying God. He came home. It's a real story. He came home. What do you think his wife thought? He comes walking in the door. He'd never walked before. He comes walking in the door. And she said, "Honey, look, look, you're not paralyzed anymore." He said, "Got better news than that. My sins are gone." Jesus Christ said, "My sins are gone. And yours can be too, if you hear him. You need him. But honey, you're walking now." That's, everybody walks. Here's a glory, here's a miracle. I'm walking by faith. I have faith now. He gave me and I didn't have it before. That's a miracle. But here's glory. Christ puts away sin. That's good news. That's the good news. Boy. Lord, let may I hear it. But I sure need it. All right, let's sing in closing. Number 199. This is a good hymn. John, if you'll come. 199.